Celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, yes, on Tuesday. Because our plan this week is to rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's why we are having seven messages about the resurrection. We had a message number one yesterday. Today is message number two. And we will continue having these messages all the way to Saturday at 7:30 every night. Then on Sunday, we will have our special Easter service starting at 10. So please remember, it's not going to be at 9, it's going to be at 10. And it'll be bilingual from 10 to 12. And there's many surprises in store, so please don't miss it. But let's start with a word of prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, asking that you bless your word, Lord, in a special way for our lives, Lord, that we would receive it with joy and gladness, Lord, and that you minister to each one according to our needs, Lord. I pray for each person that is joining us live, Lord, and I pray for those that will be watching this message and listening to this message through our website or through the other sources that we have, Lord. So we pray that you continue to bless this land, Lord. Continue to bless your people, Lord. Continue to manifest your power, Lord. We pray that this disease would disappear, Lord, and that you would allow us to come back together as a church, Lord, so that we would rejoice in your presence, Lord. But we know that even though we are separated right now because of this, we are still in the same spirit, Lord. We are ready to worship you and ready to adore you, Lord. So prepare our hearts for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, what a blessing that you're able to make it with to the second message that we are sharing on the resurrection. And yesterday I mentioned that we were going to speak about Mary Magdalene and the other women. We didn't have a chance to touch on the ministry of the other women, but I'm going to share today about the other women, but we're also adding one more, and it's the private appearance or the private appearance that Jesus did, how he appeared to Peter. And this is one of those where, even though we've read these verses, and I think we didn't stop and meditate on the fact that this happened. And there's not a lot of information, but it's enough information to know that it actually did happen, that Jesus appeared to Peter in a private manner. But before we go there, we're going to look at these women I was going to mention yesterday, and today we're going to look at these women. So let's look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verses 8 through 10. Matthew 28. And we also have to answer several things about this group of women, because we wonder why it was that just Mary Magdalene got to see Jesus resurrected, and the others were with her. If you look at verse, let's look at verse 1 just to start. We see a group of women, but let's look at verse 1 where we're going to start seeing some names. It says, "Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb." So we find two Marys here. We find Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. And And so now we know that it's more than one. So it wasn't just Mary Magdalene. Now, there is actually more information about these women. If you look on at Mark, sorry that I didn't read the other verses. We're going to come to verses 8 and 8 through 10 later, because that's where the most of the message is. So let's go to Mark chapter 16. And again, I encourage you to have your Bibles handy so that you can go and look at these verses and actually read it with me. It's such a blessing to try to involve most of the senses when we go to the Word of God, because we can retain a little more. Now, let's look at Mark 16, verse 1. Now, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, so there we go, same one, Mary, the mother of James, now we have, this is the same as in 28, it says the other Mary. But notice, there's someone else here. There's a comma there, because it doesn't say Mary, the mother of James and Salome. It has a comma right after James. So there's actually another woman, and her name is Salome. And it tells us what they had done. They came to anoint Jesus to try to prepare his body. And now let's go to Luke. So now we move on to the next gospel, Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And we're going to look at some verses there that gives us even more names. Luke 23, verses 55 through 56. It says, and the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Chapter 24. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, so that means all the women. It doesn't say that some of them. It says that all the women, they came. They said all the women, they and certain other women. So not only was the group that had come from Galilee was with them, but actually other women joined in. And they came to the tomb bringing spices, the spices which they had prepared. And so we find then that it's not just one, two, or three, but that it's actually many more. If you go to Luke chapter 8, which yesterday we read that scripture, but we didn't give a lot of focus on the names of these women, but here we're going to notice that it's very, very plausible that all these women were part of the women that actually followed Jesus. Just like the disciples, the apostles, they went with him wherever he went. The women were actually as faithful, and they also followed Jesus. And it says here in verse 2, we find Mary Magdalene, and then verse 3, we find another woman, Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and then Susanna, and other who provided for him from their substance. So now we add these other women to the list, and it's very, very plausible that, you know, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was also there, and that Mary and Martha, because they were such close friends to Jesus, I'm pretty sure they were there too. Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus. So it's a big group of women. And but now the explanation, we're like, then why was it that only Mary Magdalene witnessed or saw Jesus? Why it wasn't more women? Because if you remember, when the women came to prepare the body, they found out that the stone had already been removed. And they were sad, and they were surprised, and they were scared. And they thought that someone had stolen the body. And that's when the angels appeared to her. And the angel, one of the angels, gave them specific instructions and told them to go and give the message to the disciples. And so they all ran. Now the only one that stayed behind was Mary Magdalene. She still cannot believe it. And you know, when you're in a state of shock, when if someone really close to you has died, and I know some of you had that experience, it actually feels surreal. Like the things that are happening are not real. Something with that magnitude. Same thing happened to her. I mean, she was there and she saw when Jesus was crucified and how he died. And now she can't believe it. Even though that angel appeared, in her mind, she's probably still wondering if this is real. If this really happened, if there was really an angel that gave him that instruction. And so she stays behind. And that's when she witnessed when Jesus appeared to her. Now, some of you might say, wow, so it would have been better just to stay behind. No, because remember when Mary Magdalene tried to grab hold of Jesus, Jesus told her, no, you don't hold me. I need to go to my Father. But yet, these women that obeyed the instruction that the angel gave him and said, hey, go, this is the message that the Lord is sending. Go and tell my disciples that I will see them again. So let's go to Matthew 28 and let's look at these verses that talk about what happened to these women. Matthew 28 verse 9, it says, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him. Let's start with verse 8, because we see the appearance of Jesus to them, but let's see how their state of mind and their emotions, how they were. It says in verse 8 that they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Now, so there's a mixture of fear, because you don't see an angel every day. An angel that speaks to you, you don't see that every day. But then at the same time, it's not every day that a good man, a holy man, like Jesus, who hadn't done any evil, that only did good, that restored lives, that brought forgiveness, and that loved so many, that he was dead. They had killed him. And so the fear is like, what is going on? And also the fear for their lives too, because they had already killed Jesus, and most likely they were going to start looking for disciples, people that followed Jesus, to try to also harm them. But there's a joy because the news that they just heard that he's alive. So there's a mixture of fear and joy, and it's really weird. Those, when you mix emotions, it's really interesting what happens inside of you. So they ran, and as they're running, it says that Jesus met them, saying, I love in the Spanish translation, which the Spanish translation is closer to the original. It says that it's almost like he jumped out at them, like he came and just appeared suddenly, right there, like almost intercepted them on their run, like boom, just hit the brakes, and he just appears and he says, "Rejoice!" And so now the focus is the Lord says, "Don't fear, but rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Now, notice that they're holding him by the feet. And I could just imagine, you know, so many times we speak about, oh, when I meet the Lord, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I think that our only reaction would be just to fall at his feet. And that's exactly what they were doing. They fell at his feet, but yet he gives them the privilege. He comes close to them, and he gives them the privilege to touch him, to hold him, to know that it wasn't a dream, that it was real. And so there is a blessing in obedience. These women, they obeyed, and they were doing what God had instructed them to do. And as they were obeying, they saw the hand of God. And Jesus appears to them in a very powerful way. And there they are. They held him by the feet and they worshiped him. That's all we can do with the resurrected Christ. Worship him because he lives, because he is all powerful. But notice what the words that Jesus gave them. Such beautiful words. Remember, they are fearful, but at the same time, they have great joy. Now, Jesus says, you can keep the joy, but don't fear. And that's why Jesus, right here in verse 10, it says, then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Amen. And you know, that word is so powerful for even for us right now in the situation that we're going. We can still rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Because he's alive. He's defeated death, the grave, and the devil, and he's given us the victory. And now he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And again, he repeats the command, go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. And so notice also that hope and that promise that we will see him again. For them, it was like, it's not just a one-time thing. I'm going to go and see him again. And you know what a blessing for us as believers, because Jesus said, blessed are those that have not seen yet believe. Because we have not seen him physically, but we have his promises that one day we will see him. And I believe it with all my heart that one of these days Jesus is going to come and catch me up in the rapture, and I'm going to go with him. Or if I die, I'm going to go into his presence, and I will see him again. This will be awesome. Now, notice that when you obey, you have a special blessing. So we should continue to obey. And what a beautiful promise of the Lord to say, fear not, fear not. And I'm telling you, if that's the word for you, I'm to forget about all the bad news. The good news is that Jesus is alive and that he overcame death, the grave, and the devil. He overcame everything, and that we have his promises that he will be with us all the time. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, so this is awesome. These women have that special privilege of being the first ones to see Jesus. Mary Magdalene. And now these women are the second ones to see Jesus. But then the next one, in chronological order, from what it appears, it seems to me that Peter was the third one to see Jesus resurrected. And you remember that Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples, and then Peter and John came running to the tomb. But Jesus did not appear to them right there. It says that John got to the tomb first. He looked inside, but he didn't go in. When Peter came after him, Peter went all the way in. And when John followed after, he saw the linens put in a certain way, and he believed. And Peter just walked out wondering what had happened. So Peter and John did not see Jesus risen from, he did not appear to them. But notice here in Luke chapter 24, we have this very interesting verse. Because Luke 24, 34, notice, and certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman said, but him. Oh, wait, I'm reading the wrong verse. 34, sorry. I'm like, wait a second, somebody switched it on me. Here we go. Okay. Luke 24, 34, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Notice here, when they come and tell them, notice, let's read verse 33 just so you see the context and you realize that this is before Jesus appeared to the 11. It says, so they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. So that means all the apostles are there saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they didn't say, and us. So this is just to Simon, just personally. The Lord appeared to Simon. And when we see in Mark 16:7, we see a very beautiful message that also was sent to Peter. Because if you see verse 7, it says, but go tell his disciples and Peter, that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you. Now notice how he could have just said, and go and tell his disciples, but he actually sends like a personal message to Peter. Go tell his disciples and Peter, like specially Peter. Why? Because the Lord was going to appear to Peter. And this is a private appearance. It's just a personal private appearance. And notice, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to find something very, very interesting there. And it's interesting because we see some of the things that I had been telling you, that how the witness of the women was not, in this case, Paul seems to ignore that the women were the first ones to see Jesus resurrected. And he brings up in verse 5 the fact that it says, and that he was seen by Cephas. So he puts Peter, because Cephas is Peter, he puts Peter as the first one that the Lord appeared to. But we know that he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, then the other women. Then we find out that he appeared to Cephas, and by the 12, then by the 12. So notice, it's separate. He appeared to Peter. And you know what? This changes a lot of things in my in my estimation, because you know how we talk about chapter 21 of John, where the Gospel of John, where Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And that he said it three times, and that this was to restore him. But I want to put just something in your mind just so you meditate on this. When we look at the whole picture, it doesn't seem like that was the point of the message there. Because if you remember, when Peter and the others were fishing and the Lord appeared in the shore, in the beach, Peter dove in. He was the first one to go. If you still had guilt, if you still had remorse, if you still felt bad for something that you did, you probably would have not been the first one to dive in. You probably would have held back and waited until later. So I can see that the attitude that Peter had proves that he had already been restored. And I believe that this private conversation that even Peter does not explain, he doesn't tell us in his letters, he doesn't give us information about this, but I believe that that's where Peter was restored. And that in chapter 21, what's happening is actually that Peter is being commissioned. Because notice that every time that love is mentioned, it's mentioned in relationship to ministry. Do this, do this, do this. But this beautiful private appearance, and I believe that Jesus wants to do the same with us. He wants us to be obedient. He wants us to follow his instructions. And he will appear in the midst of us going and doing his will. He will be there. All of a sudden, his presence, all of a sudden, his power, all of a sudden, his miracles will appear right in front of us. All we need to do is to walk with joy. No fear. And as Peter, no matter if we failed, no matter how far we've gone, Jesus wants to have that personal appearance with us. He wants to come into our lives. He wants to be our Lord. He wants to make sure that we know that he loves us, even though we failed, even though we haven't been faithful. But yet, he loves us so much that he prepares a special private meeting with you and me. And I believe that in these times, we could take advantage of this opportunity that we have of being able to go into our room and just pray to the Lord, just be in his presence. And you know, he is going to make himself real to you. And maybe you've never come to Christ. You've never surrendered your life to Christ. I want to invite you today to do that. I want you to pray. I want you to ask him to forgive you of your sins. And I want you to put your hope in his finished work. Not only that he lived the perfect sinless life as the perfect Lamb of God, but that he died for your sins, and that he demonstrated that he is a powerful, eternal Savior by defeating death. He came back from the dead, and he's alive. And so I'm going to invite you to pray right now. Please repeat this after me, and the Lord will visit you right there, wherever you are. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. I needed to hear this. And I recognize and I admit that I'm a sinner, but I turn to you, Lord. Now that I know that you love me, and that you are waiting for me, that you want to have a personal relationship with me, a personal encounter, Lord, I surrender. And I receive you. I repent of my sin. I put my whole trust in faith in your finished work on the cross. And I believe that you were raised from the dead to give me victory, to give me hope. So from this day forward, I want to serve you. I want to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. What a blessing. And for us as believers, let's continue in obedience, following the Lord, and rejoicing always. Be joyful. That's because He is alive. And no matter what happens around us, that fact does not change. God bless you. Have a great evening.